top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens.
Good evening. This is the Prime Evening News for today, Wednesday, April 17th, 2024. I am Richie Farrell. In the headlines.
The hour news. As it happens.
Economist and UWP leader Dr. Thompson Fontaine is concerned with the recent departures and acquisitions of the assets of the Royal Bank of Canada and the First Caribbean International Bank in Dominica. An international counterterrorism exercise was the culminating event of the Regional Security System, RSS, Unity Exercise 2024. That's the UNEX 2024 in St. Lucia last Thursday.
Our news.
And Speaker Mike Johnson has announced the United States House of Representatives will hold a vote on aid bills, including one for Ukraine and another for border security by this Saturday. The news brought to you with the very kind compliments of Archipelago Trading, agents of Beacon Insurance. We'll be back after some words from our sponsor.
Q, top of the hour news.
To a certain age, different things drive you. Like the anticipation of a new adventure, the comfort of having friends who become family, or just enjoying that journey to the next destination. At Beacon, we've given our 50-plus drivers more value and greater convenience with hassle-free sign-up, affordable fixed rates, and free benefits. Call Archipelago Trading at 448-5247 or log on to beacondominica.com for a quote today, and let us help you keep doing what drives you.
All right, first up in the news, economist and UWP leader Dr. Thompson Fontaine considers the decisions of banks like the former Royal Bank of Canada and First Caribbean International Bank to leave Dominica and sell their acquisitions to the National Bank of Dominica as a cause for concern. Speaking to Q95 FM radio on Tuesday, Dr. Fontaine explained that the purpose for these banks leaving could have been mainly due to a few things. One, a lack of profit due to fewer deposits made to the bank, and two, a reduced awarding of loans to clients.
Because of the non-performance of the Dominican, by its ability to be able to take deposits from the public and then unlend to the public in the form of loans. That is the major way in which they make the money. Of course, there are other ways. They can do other investments. They can invest in other monetary instruments and so on. They can invest in treasury bonds from the government. There are different ways to make money. But the most important way the banks get their resources is by taking deposits from the public and then unlending to the public. Now, when you have a collapsed economy after all of those years where people are not making a lot of money, this savings ratio is extremely low. It means that the bank does not have as much to lend. And that's why a lot of the banks were having issues. They simply were not able to meet that. Even when they lend to the public a high ratio of non-performing loans, which basically meant that people were either not paying the loan or they were not paying on time, or not paying the loan at all. Okay, so that would put some problems on the bank. And that's one of the reasons why you'll find that some of the banks. But also the issue of the compliance issue. That is really a big deal, where the Caribbean has been voted, has been flagged as a center for money laundering, okay? So a lot of dirty money was being alleged to be passing through the banks in the Caribbean. And for these foreign banks, they stood to lose so much if they made a mistake. If, for example, some money were to pass through them and they were not able to capture it, then there were stiff fines that the regulators in the U.S. would impose on them, okay? So they're simply saying that for the amount of money that they're making out of an economy like Dominica, be taking that risk. So there is a substantial reason why we saw those banks with them. One was the economy, and secondly was over the compliance issue.
Economist and UWP leader Dr. Thompson Fontaine. The Dominica Amateur Basketball Association, DABA 2024 National Basketball League, tips off at the Massac Indoor Sports Complex this evening at 7 p.m. The DABA is advising patrons to get ready for First Division basketball action. The Dennis Charles Seahawks take on the JRS Tigers this evening at 7 p.m. And at 9 p.m., the West Coast Credit Union real-time ballers go up against the Detroit Blazers 2. On Thursday, April 18, 2024, at 7 p.m., First Division basketball action continues. The JAR Lions will play the DBS Old School. Then at 9 p.m., Premier Division basketball takes off. Basketball lovers will see the BAA Sharks versus the 767 Sports Club Dominators. Then, on Friday, April 19, 2024 at 7 p.m., with First Division action, the 00 Washers take on the Perky's Pizza 767 Sports Club's Young Ballers, and at 9 p.m., a Premier Division matchup. The defending champions, the Dr. Daru PSC Falcons 1 versus the Police Sports Club. Final games of Week 1 will be held on Saturday, April 20th, 2024 at 7 p.m. at the First Division level. Peybush Snipers will take on Jolly's Exotic Maho Gators, and a big game at 9 p.m. with two former Premier Division champions. The Peybush Eagles will come up against the Detroit's Blazers 1. In more news, Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerridge, speaking at the Our Ocean Conference in Greece on April 16th and the 17th, emphasized the urgency of addressing the climate crisis. He stressed the imperative for immediate intervention, particularly in terms of countries reducing carbon emissions. The Prime Minister underscored the necessity for urgent action, pointing out the insufficient progress seen at conferences like the annual Conference of Parties.
Clearly, there's a crisis, and there is need for urgent action. One of the important things that we have to do in the world, especially the developed world, is to reduce some carbon emissions. That's the main cause. And unless we get a very clear decision to reduce carbon emissions, then we'll be speaking and talking in futility. The islands that are here are already here at the mercies of the developed world. We have been to many of these engagements, both at COP, and we commend the government of Greece for hosting this very important conference. But we need to see more concrete action taken. Every one of us in these islands are taking actions to mitigate against the impacts on our oceans, the impacts on our society by climate change. But more needs to be done by the developed world. In Dominica's case, for example, last year we declared the first sperm whale reserve in the world. First sperm whale reserve in the world. More than 45% of our country is protected as forest reserve. And about 30% of our sea space is protected as marine reserve. And interestingly, one of the marine reserves is located in a fishing village. And every one of the fishermen, every one of the residents in that community respects the law of the land in protecting the marine reserve. So we are playing our part, but there needs to be more advocacy and more action taken. We speak about the problem, but sometimes we don't speak about the solutions to the problem. And I think the financing to put in place mitigation measures are absolutely needed now rather than later. Time is not on our side, and we have to ensure we have a better society, a better planet, a better ocean for succeeding generations.
Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerritt, you're tuned in with Q95 News. The Alzheimer's Association is set to recognize outstanding contributions to Alzheimer's and dementia research at the upcoming Alzheimer's Association International Conference, AAIC Neuroscience, next week in Chicago this April. Four awards will be presented to researchers for their expertise, achievements, and innovative work in this field. AAI Neuroscience Next, hosted by the University of Chicago, is a global event aimed at supporting and showcasing the next generation of Alzheimer's and dementia researchers and clinicians. Among the honorees is Rihanna Patterson, founder of the Dominica Dementia Foundation. Patterson established the foundation at the age of 18 in memory of her grandfather, who battled dementia in Dominica. Her youth-led charity provides support to families and care homes affected by dementia. Patterson's dedication earned her the Queen's Young Leader Award from Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II in 2017 and recognition as a finalist of the Commonwealth Youth Awards for Development Excellence in the Caribbean region in 2022. She's also an ambassador for Common Age and director of the award-winning documentary Dementia, The Island Journey, focusing on dementia in the Caribbean region. Currently pursuing a master's degree in dementia at University College London, Patterson has contributed to dementia research at Alzheimer's Disease International and independently. Her work has been recognized by the Alzheimer's Association, with one of her reports presented and published by the organization in 2017. Following a farmers' meeting led by Agriculture Minister and MP of the Cottage District, Roland Roye, on April 10, 2024, Roye said the $600,000 rehabilitated Clifton Farm Access Road has reignited farming within that district. Roye expressed thanks to the National Authorizing Office and the Prime Minister for approving the project, as well as the feedback of the farmers who use this area for their farming. The road was constructed by Sony Construction and Plywood Rentals and was completed in the project timeline of 7 weeks.
We held our first town hall meeting in Clifton somewhere in end of January, February. And I asked the community what are their priorities, and they had a long list. But number one on the list was the Clifton Feeder Road. I knew the level of productivity here once had, but the condition of the road was not encouraging farmers to really go into farming or to expand, because access was sort of difficult. We got funding through the National Authorizing Office, as any office, under the 11th EDF, the envelope. So the cost of the project is about $600,000 less VAT, and it was constructed by Sony Construction and Plywood Rentals.
Agriculture Minister and MP of the Cottage District, Roland Roye. During the Kingdom Connection program, Pastor Randy Rodney expressed disappointment at the lack of an update on electoral reform progress, as promised by the Prime Minister in a recent press conference. Pastor Rodney noted that he wasn't surprised by the absence of any announcement given by the Prime Minister's track record of unfulfilled promises to the people of Dominica. Pastor Randy Rodney highlighted the Prime Minister's assurance that draft legislation for electoral reform would be completed before the next parliament sitting, with a budget allocated accordingly. But this, he says, is yet to materialize.
My memory serves me right. We should have had an announcement today with regard to electoral reform from the Honorable Prime Minister, Dr. Roosevelt Scarry. I wasn't expecting it, but after he gave us so many untruths, Monty, he could surprise us one time, and tell us the truth this time. Now, if you assess what he has told us, it means that there's no way, by his own words, that the electoral reform wheel will turn. How do you know that, Pastor Randy? I'll tell you how. Well, today's the 15th of April. He promised that this thing would have been out in the public, would know what was going to Parliament, and by the time they do the budget, the budget would prepare the funding, the necessary funding for the reform. But the budget is supposed to be, well, the end of the financial year is June 30th, which is 45 days from today. So make the maths, okay? Just make the maths. The sad thing about that is, you know, we keep sitting down and taking that. You know, this thing has been out since 2009. This is 2024. And we've been hearing about electoral reform, and somebody has been kicking down the can. And don't want anybody else to talk about it, as though it must be his thing and his reform, because it's his country and his backyard and his child, and everything is his. So the rest of the people must shut up. One of those days, I'm sure some people wouldn't shut up. And when you see that, people say you're inciting violence. But all I'm saying to you, all of you, is what you sow, you go reap. And if you plant some things, understand that what you get is not what you plant. What you get is dozens of what you plant. So if you plant one seed, you don't expect one seed in the harvest. You expect a bag of whatever you plant. That is what you will get, okay? Don't you ever forget that. Keep that in your mind.
Pastor Randy Rodney, host of the Kingdom Connection program, he spoke on Monday. This week, the staff of the Dominica National Medical Laboratory is celebrating Laboratory Professional Week. Senior technologist at the National Medical Laboratory, Mrs. Prunella Robin Coffey, reveals that the days of viewing the lab technician as a behind-the-scenes profession is a thing of the past. Mrs. Robin Coffey underscored the significant roles and responsibilities carried out by the National Medical Laboratory.
National Laboratory serves a dual role as both clinical lab and that of the Public Health Lab. It is the main provider for lab services to the Dominica China Friendship Hospital, the entire primary healthcare system in Dominica, and in addition, supports the delivery of lab services to primary clientele. The National Lab contributes immensely to the surveillance of diseases of public health concerns, as demonstrated during the COVID-19 pandemic, and the ongoing surveillance of dengue, tuberculosis, leptospirosis, and other respiratory diseases, just to name a few. The diagnostic and surveillance capabilities of the lab, they are carried out by a body of dedicated, competent, and hardworking staff across the disciplines of hematology, clinical chemistry, immunology, and pharmacology, histopathology and cytology, clinical microbiology, including serology and molecular sectors. Due to the nature of our work and the reclusive nature of lab inherent due to the sensitive quality systems, it is often viewed as a closed and mysterious arm of the healthcare delivery system. We are viewed as a behind-the-scene entity, however, we are in fact at the forefront of saving lives, as our contributions is crucial for accurate diagnosis and treatment of diseases.
Senior technologist at the National Medical Laboratory, Mrs. Prunella Robin-Coffey. In other news, an international counterterrorism exercise was the culminating event of the Regional Security System RSS Unity Exercise 2024, dubbed UNEX 2024, in St. Lucia. During the counterterrorism exercise last Thursday, ground troops acted upon intelligence reports of suspected safe houses. The reports led them to the confirmation of known criminal vessels heading towards Martinique. The Gendarmerie de la Martinique received the information and immediately responded by sending a helicopter to support the interception operation between St. Lucia and Martinique. An RSS Facebook post observed, "This collaboration was a true testament of regional and international security cooperation. The event was the last UNEX 24 maritime exercise." And the U.S. House of Representatives will hold a vote on aid bills, including one for Ukraine, by this Saturday. Speaker Mike Johnson has announced. In a note sent to House Republicans, Mr. Johnson said that four bills would be put to the floor, including another one on border security. The national security bills outlined by Mr. Johnson will include funding for Israel, as well as the Indo-Pacific. Aid for Ukraine has stalled for months amid opposition from some Republicans. The announcement, which was texted to House members on Wednesday, comes over 2 months after a $95 million bill combining the various aid packages passed the U.S. Senate. The new plan breaks the aid packages into separate bills, which Mr. Johnson told fellow representatives include a loan structure for aid, an enhanced strategy and accountability. A fourth planned bill will include the Rebuilding Economic Prosperity and Opportunity for Ukrainians, or REPO Act, which would allow seized Russian assets to be given to Ukraine, as well as a bill that would force TikTok's parent company to divest from the company or face a potential ban in the United States.
And when you're talking about serious discussions on foreign policy, I think many of us, you know, including me and many, have been warning that the unserious shouldn't be making policy decisions. And right now, you have somebody who compared himself to Moses talking to somebody who misspelled martial law when she called for it in the Mark Meadows text. I don't know how serious those discussions are. So when you see Marjorie Taylor Greene actually coming up and saying, hey, we're going to put a motion to vacate on the floor, I really can't imagine, even with the insanity that's going on in the GOP caucus right now, I can't imagine that a majority or even a large minority will back Marjorie Taylor Greene in calling for Mike Johnson's ouster at this time. I just don't think that's going to happen. However, it's very hard to predict insanity. And I think when you're looking at Congress right now, I think that's the issue that you have, is that it's so unpredictable and so unserious that something like that might gain traction. But again, I'm hoping that we still have enough serious legislators in there where something like that wouldn't happen at this time.
That's the Prime Evening News. Here's a recap of our headlines. Economist and UWP leader Dr. Thompson Fontaine, concerned with the recent departures and acquisitions of the assets of the Royal Bank of Canada and the First Caribbean International Bank in Dominica.
Only on Q.
An international counterterrorism exercise was the culminating event of the Regional Security System Unity Exercise 2024 in St. Lucia last Thursday. And Speaker Mike Johnson has announced the U.S. House of Representatives will hold a vote on 8 bills, including one for Ukraine and another for border security by this Saturday. The news was brought to you with the very kind compliments of Archipelago Trading, agents of Beacon Insurance. I've been your presenter, Richie Farrell, with the Q95 News Team.
Of the hour news as it happens when it